This is going to be epic. Hold on to your seats.
WFOD starts now.
So, you know, check it out. Woo!
When Elvis was young, he was a bad motherfucker, boy. Elvis was bad. He was vicious and shit. Sing his ass off. He sang so good, they let him do movies. He couldn't act.
They said, fuck it, let him sing all his dialogue.
They did. Everything Elvis said, he said, Elvis, we gotta win this race.
We gotta win this race. Elvis, want some lemonade?
Lemonade.
That cool, refreshing drink.
Sent Travis a picture. I was designing a little logo.
Yeah.
And I wanted to show Travis what I came up with. And he says, oh, I hate when people have their feet in the picture. It's because I was like holding the piece of paper up.
Yeah.
And he got really mad. And he
it's like, it doesn't take that much effort to just step back. Like, if you see your feet in the picture, get those nasty fucking things out of there.
Travis, I wasn't posting it, like, you know, publicly. I was sending my progress to my pals so they could see the thing I was working on.
Yeah, but your pals don't want to see your feet either.
That's a weird thing to be annoyed by.
He was like, ugh, I can't believe it. That's a pet peeve of mine. I didn't even think that was like a thing that has happened enough in your life that you could develop a pet peeve.
All the time. Like these comic book groups that I'm into, people are always taking pictures of their comics. And they'll put them on like the counter, or they'll hold them in their hand or whatever, and they got their nasty fucking unsocked, unshooed feet. I can't see your Amazing Spider-Man 238 because you're disgusting fucking toe.
I wouldn't even
notice
something
like that. You got like one longer
like
toe, like
that's
on the
funny.
You know, your small toe is like your longest toe, and it's fucking hairy.
So you won't buy a comic book from a person with a toe in their picture.
Well, I definitely would never buy a picture.
So your second toe isn't bigger than your first toe?
Like talking their pinky toe, like just weird fucking deformed.
Like the toe next to your big toe?
A friend of mine who has an Instagram account that's just him taking pictures of his feet.
What? For what purpose?
It's called like Sean's Shoes, and he just goes places and takes pictures of his like shoes.
Oh, well, and, like, that's
is it?
You ever play that game on Instagram with the people who have is it legs or hot dogs? Like that game.
Legs or hot dogs?
Yeah.
I don't
legs
know
or hot dogs.
That. I'm just saying, if you have shoes on, like, I guess that's a little better. I just don't want to see your toes. I don't want to see your toes or your toes knuckle hair. I don't want any of that.
You don't like feet?
It's not that I don't like. I mean, no, I guess I don't.
I was about to say, it sounds like he doesn't like feet.
I don't like have anything against feet. I just don't want to see him in a picture.
It's like toe knuckle hair.
I was driving down a road earlier, and there was it's a four-lane road. There's two lanes going one way, two lanes going the other way. There's a median in the middle. And
that makes more sense than three lanes one way and one lane the other.
And there were some ducks. The ducks were walking along the median.
Were they ducks or geese?
Well, it was a like a mom duck and a bunch of baby ducks, and like they were walking on the wrong side. You know, they were like in the middle, walking along the median in like a little bitty. It wasn't even like a shoulder. It was probably like 3 or 4 inches of a line marking off, hey, there's a median here.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what to do, so I just kept driving. And I saw a cop, and I thought about stopping and telling the cop, hey, man, there's some ducks. We got to save these ducks. But I didn't. Those ducks probably died, right? Been thinking about it all day.
Probably not. Ducks are pretty smart.
No, they're, yeah,
you think
they're
they got away? They're baby ducks, though. Baby ducks can't fly yet, right?
The mom gathers them up, though.
You think they figured it out?
Usually people don't run over ducks.
Thanks for reassuring me, guys. I've been worried about these ducks. You think they're fine?
You're good.
Mike, did you you drew this by hand, this little picture?
No, no.
Oh.
Are you going to make me a mouse pie out of it?
Were you going to say that it was good if he freehanded it?
I thought the Sharpie's right there, so it led me to believe.
Well, I was touching some things up, Matt.
But now that you know he didn't freehand it, what is your what's your opinion?
Oh, I like it. I it's definitely it pops. It's got WFOD there with the website, and it's simple. It's a simple like.
It's load, simple. Right?
I think I'd like it better if instead of dirt in the wheelbarrow, there was actually penis is coming out, but
yeah, I mean, drunk, you realize why you can't do that, right?
No, I don't.
Hey, you're an adult man. You can't walk around with penises on your shirt, drunk.
Oh, it's for a shirt.
Well, or something.
You ever want Chuck Beck on this this podcast?
You're Chuck Roy?
Yeah, Chuck Roy. You're gonna
later on in the show, guys. We're going to be joined by Josh Christina. He is a musician from Baltimore. I enjoyed his music tunes. I want to talk to him about them.
Hey, so also, Rise Against AFI and Anti-Flag are going to be at the Red Rocks on September 15th.
Anti-Flag is kind of lame.
You know, I heard on the radio today that the it's like the 20th anniversary of when Seinfeld went off the air, the finale of Seinfeld.
That's the one where they got arrested for...
They all went to jail.
Yeah, not helping out the people, the Good Samaritan law thing.
And it got me thinking about, the ratings success of Seinfeld and Elvis and the success of Elvis and all these folks, you know, doing all these things that are probably hit a height that we'll never hit again, right? Because I don't think that there could be a singular focus on one thing long enough for that to ever happen again, right? I mean, like Seinfeld's finale, they said that Frank Sinatra died during the finale of Seinfeld. Like when the final episode of Seinfeld was on, Frank Sinatra had a seizure and died.
Okay.
Wow. And the ambulance was able to like get to his house and get to the hospital like in record time, probably because it's Sinatra and they probably want to try to save him, so they probably pull out all the stops, but also the finale of Seinfeld is on, and so there was so many people at home watching Seinfeld that there was no traffic.
Okay.
And I think that there's too many things now. I don't think that it's necessarily that there's bad things. I think there's just too many things.
Well, that was pre-DVR. See, back then, you still had appointment television because, you know, what are you going to do, record it on your VCR?
But I'm not even just talking about, like, watching appointment television and watching it when it's on. I'm talking about, right, like a cultural milestone of such significance that
yeah,
you can't
doesn't
miss
exist
it
anymore. Like, you're absolutely right. I mean, the Seinfelds and like all those must see moments, and you have to get out there, like, and everybody's talking about it. Yeah, there's things that people talk about, but almost everything is a flash in the pan.
It's
popular, it's gone. I mean,
the closest we've gotten, right, is like probably like The Walking Dead. And even though that show has gotten really shitty, you know, it still gets like record numbers. And when they talk about it, you know, dropping off in viewership, people look at those numbers and they say, oh, that's pathetic. But when you're talking about getting 20 million people to watch anything anymore, that is, you know, long gone are the days of, you know, 150 million people, however many people watch that Seinfeld finale. You're never going to get those numbers again because, like Drunk said, you got DVRs, you got too many distractions. Like, why would I sit in front of the TV to watch these things when I got 100 things to watch on Netflix?
But I mean, right, like, even things that like people say, oh, my God, have you watched so-and-so? Like, you know, like... I guess what, like Mad Men and Breaking Bad and all these things that are like, you know, culturally the things that you should do if you want to keep up with, you know, what the people are into. Even those, I feel like you can get away with skipping things. Like, I've heard so many people this past week, like Mark Maron had Josh Brolin on his podcast this week, and he's talking to Josh Brolin, and he says, oh yeah, I don't watch any of those superhero movies. Right. And I mean, like, Mark Maron's like a social influencer. He gets plenty of people on his podcast. People know who he is. How can he not be in tune with all the things that the kids like? But I guess he can afford to miss things because I guess he's doing his own thing.
Well, and because he does, when he does do things, he's still like getting Josh Brolin. He doesn't need to know about the Josh Brolin superhero stuff to be able to talk to Josh Brolin. But the people who like the Josh Brolin superhero stuff will tune in to hear Josh Brolin talk. Right. So,
by the way, talks to Josh Brolin for 2 hours, Travis, while Josh Brolin is in the number one movie for the past 3 weeks, mentions it in like the last 5 minutes briefly, asks him if he had fun doing it, and they move on.
Yeah, well, because he probably knows that there are, you know, 1,000 different news outlets covering that right now. So if you want to hear Josh Brolin talk about superhero things, you can find like a gluttony of content. But
It's 2018 Infinity Wars breaking records. Let's talk about milk.
Yeah.
But anyway, I feel like just as many people will watch the series finale of Game of Thrones as they did Seinfeld, right?
No.
But I mean, like Elvis. I mean, there's still people talking about Elvis. There's still people impersonating Elvis. You can make a living if you're good at impersonating Elvis.
Right.
I mean, there's not going to be Kanye West impersonators. There's not going to be. There's cover bands that can play your local pub, but I mean, like,
I mean, if you go to Vegas, they impersonate everybody down there.
I feel like the world now is like Infinity War drunk. Like everyone gets their little moment to shine in it, but it's nobody's film really, you know, like everybody may have a moment and you say, oh, Doctor Strange was great in that. But Doctor Strange was probably in that movie for 15 minutes.
Okay.
Right.
It's not Doctor Strange's movie.
That's why you don't have like the like you said, the cultural influencer of like one singular musician, or you don't have, you know, the one show. You're just not going to tell. You don't have movie stars anymore. There's not, you know, I think George Clooney, Tom Cruise are probably the last couple of movie stars. But even that, not like it used to be where you had like a handful of movie stars and they were guaranteed to like make bank at the box office because of who they are. You don't have that guarantee anymore people's attentions are diverted.
Even looking at things like Marvel, I mean, it used to be you might get a superhero movie every couple of years, and now, you know, we're getting 3 Marvel films over the course of the next year, and, you know, Star Wars. I mean, look at Star Wars. We're getting 2 Star Wars movies in the course of a year. Like that's insane. In less than a couple of, or the span of a few months, you know, we get the Star Wars last Christmas, and then we're getting the Solo movie. It's so fast because, you know, it's big right now, and you gotta keep it going.
Well, and if you go back, you know, 20 plus years, a movie with that kind of significance would have been in like the theater for months, where like E.T., think when it was breaking records, E.T. was in the theater. And I mean, I could be wrong on this at the exact time, but it was like 8 months. Like they had kept E.T. in most theaters for like 8 months because the rewatchability was there and they weren't like just like launching blockbusters at your face every 2 seconds. And now even a movie like Infinity War, like Black Panther, I saw Black Panther on week 3 and I was worried it was going to be out of the theater. That's why.
Right. You got to jump on it quick. And I mean, that could be why things are breaking record. I mean, in the last couple of years, how many times has that opening weekend record been broken? A lot. I mean,
oh yeah,
Avengers broke it. Jurassic World broke it, and then another Avengers movie broke it.
Black Panther broke it this year, and then Avengers came out and then broke the record again.
Right. So. And that's because you got to get to it fast. But I mean, I don't think that those are. I mean, like we enjoy them certainly, but I mean, I don't think that anyone's going to like look back at Avengers Infinity War the same way that you look back at E.T. or Elvis or
no. And I agree with that too, and I think maybe you might look back on with fondness like that with the first handful of like Marvel movies where it's like it started the whole thing, where so it was special. But now when you're getting, like Matt said, like 3 a year, you don't have time to like really let it sink in before you're on to the next thing.
Weren't we just talking about this a couple weeks ago where we watched Doctor Strange out of the blue.
Yeah.
Theater, we're like, oh my God, this was a really good move.
And we forgot about it. Good.
Yeah.
Now, and I think it's the jump, it's the race to get to the theater, so you're avoiding spoilers because it's like 24/7 information. So as soon as somebody sees it, you like got to worry that it's going to get spoiled for you because you'd like to, you know, enjoy the entertainment fresh, I think, a lot of times. So that's why people are rushing out to get it. And when you consume it so fast, I don't think there's any time to like savor it. You like it, you really enjoy it, maybe you go see it a second time, but you just don't have the time to really let it sink in.
Now, we look back at 9/11 as everybody remembers where they were when 9/11 happened. It was probably the thing that we'll remember, you know. But if 9/11 happened this week, would it have been as huge? Like, with all the things that have happened and we've moved on from them so quickly, it's just like it seems to be commonplace. And 9/11 was at a much grander scale than a lot of these. But it, like, has our culture shifted that much in 15 something years that we won't even
blink an eye at it anymore? Absolutely. I think like 9/11 maybe, I mean, and for me personally, I think might be like a bad example. But when you look at like Columbine, like there's been plenty of, you know, like mass shootings since Columbine and bigger ones, like it like affected more people and more people. But I will always remember Columbine. I remember when it happened. It was an insane moment, I think, in like American history. And
but there's been 20 Columbines in the last couple of years.
Right. But I will always remember Columbine. But like, even, you know, not to say that these things don't strike a nerve with me, but like that is the one single one, I think, just because it was like the first thing that was.
So Columbine like was like E.T.
Well,
it stayed in theaters for like 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
We just kept talking about it.
I don't know what of this is just maybe it's us looking back and all this stuff. All this stuff has happened. I mean, Columbine was maybe your first exposure to a school shooting. And like our kids, the first time they are kind of aware of what's going on around them and what happens, you know, maybe it affects them the same way. But I don't know. I don't know if that's happening or if that's, you know.
But it's also it's a little bit different the way that our media is presented to us, because even back in like September 11th, you know, you look back on it and, yeah, there was a lot of cable channel, like people had satellite and things, but and the internet existed. But the way people consume their content now, especially younger people, everybody's on demand. Like there's, you know, younger people are watching shit on their iPad. They're pulling up stuff on Hulu. They're pulling up stuff on Netflix. So they're not going to get that interruption. Like I remember I was 21, 20, and I was watching, like I was eating cereal and watching Jerry Springer before I had to go to work at Walmart. And it interrupted Springer on like this ridiculous cable channel. Like it, that would stop everything. But I think, you know, when you're consuming media on an iPad on demand, like it's not necessarily going to like stop your life. You know,
that's
what I'm
true. I mean, 9/11 really kind of jump started that 24 hour, you know, we've got to know what's going on at all times. What are the breaking news pieces of that story? But you're right. I mean, with your phone, anytime you want to know the weather, it's not like you have to wait till 12 o'clock.
And I do have a greater point to this whole thing is I went and saw the Quiet Place with.
Oh, you did go see that?
Jim from The Office and that gal that always looks sad.
Yeah, Emily Blunt is
my wife.
I'm super excited to see that. What was your take on it?
Travis, it was good. It was a fine movie. I enjoyed it. But the problem that I have is all the monsters are Cloverfields now. Like,
oh.
They just have like these nondescript, like abstract creatures.
Yeah, all their legs are backwards.
Like, they don't even things are moving so fast, and like nobody cares anymore. They just want to go in a dark room and get their jump scares in and be scared of a thing that squeals and makes noises and eats you. That they don't even really bother making cool monsters anymore. Everything's just like a 20-legged Cloverfield monster now.
Did they have hair? Did the monsters have hair?
You didn't really ever see them long enough to tell.
I would love for there to be like, you know, big hairy beast or something like that. Everything is like this skinless, weird, like bony legged, freaky. Like the mouth opens up into four different ways.
Matt, the Predator monster. They took some time on the Predator monster. They designed a creature. They gave him a cool helmet. When he took off his helmet, he had another face underneath his helmet. The Predator monster, they made something.
Alien.
Sure.
But well, I feel
Alien,
now...
Yeah, you hire, like, H.R. Giger to, like, design your, like, freaky, scary monster for the Alien franchise, and you're always going to remember that thing. But do you think, Mike, was Cloverfield the first one to have that kind of generic monstrosity?
It's just like a Rorschach test with eyes, man. It's just... It's a nondescript, weird, like, bug creature, but I don't like it.
You watched the Ritual on Netflix. Didn't you watch that? You said you watched that, didn't you?
I don't believe so, no.
Okay, I can't recall. I do recall there being a monster in it, and I do not recall what it looked like, but I was just like a tall, trolley kind of thing. I cannot remember if it was a Cloverfield, like, knockoff.
But the monsters of old we don't have anymore. The attention to detail is gone. Everything is weird, and it's all just moving so fast.
That's true.
It's very strange, Matt. You know what I'm saying? Oh, guys. Also, welcome to the show. Matt's here, and drunk and popcorn bitch.
Up on an alligator.
They're all here. We do have a guest coming up in a few minutes, Josh Christina. He has a new album coming out soon. He's a throwback artist.
Is that how we classify people now? Throwback artists?
Well, that's what he calls himself, Travis. He calls himself a throwback artist.
Okay, we're going to have to get to the bottom of that terminology, because I can't... If you just said out of the blue, if I wasn't familiar with this guy's work, if you just said, oh, this is Josh, he's a throwback artist.
He plays music from a different time, Travis. You know, he plays like a... He kind of reminds you a bit of like a Jerry Lee Lewis. You know, he plays music that isn't really being played anymore. His music struck me. And I said, you know what? We got to talk to this Josh. This is what we got to do. You know what I'm saying?
So what I gleaned from your previous conversation was America's just completely...
I don't think it's America. I think it's the world. I think that we're moving too fast.
The world is ADD nowadays.
Yeah.
You just can't pay attention to anything for more than 5 minutes. And
right.
On to the next thing.
Right. We did a 9/11, the Predator monster, and now we're going to talk to a guy who plays a piano. we're a good representation of the whole thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
I don't know about you, but I also am really curious about the Northern Invasion show that Travis...
We'll get to all of that. We're going to tease it. What we're going to do, gonna take a break. We're going to come back with Josh Christina, Matt. Stick with us.
Have you ever put butter on a Pop-Tart? It's so frickin' good. Have you ever put butter on a Pop-Tart? If you haven't, then I think you should. I was sitting in the kitchen one day, and I was itching to fill up my belly with the piping hot jelly of the best damn treat in the world. And I saw a stick of butter, and it almost made me shudder and scream like a baby girl. I don't want a giant penis or a rocket trip to Venus. I don't want to win the lottery. I just want to squat and gobble till I'm dizzy and I wobble in a Butterfruit and Joe-Tart dream. So I put butter on a Pop-Tart. It was so friggin' good. Have you ever put butter on a Pop-Tart? If you haven't, then I think you should.
Everybody, come along with us.
Have you ever put butter on a Pop-Tart? It's so friggin' good.
Yeah.
Have you ever put butter on a
Pop-Tart?
If you haven't, then I think you should.
Live. Internet radio.
Online and on your mobile device.
Strangelabel.com.
Here is Mike with a quick update on the WFOD Hollywood Fantasy League.
Life of the Party movie was upset this week by a small independent film called Avengers Infinity War. still managed to pull in close to $18 million, though, which combined with a 46% Metacritic score should at least have it end up in double digits by the end of its run next week. Dark Crimes opens this weekend and already has an impressive 18% Metacritic score waiting for it. There's also Deadpool 2. Let's all not forget about that. Much more to talk about coming up next week.
Like us, follow us, stalk us. We love the attention.
Fifteen-time NBA All-Star Shaquille O'Neal has lended his likeness to many reputable brands over his illustrious career. Whether it be Ego headphones, Glucose Quick Sticks, which are essentially pixie sticks marketed towards diabetics, and of course, the Soup Nazi from Seinfeld's line of Soupman soups. But the question America has is, what won't Shaquille O'Neal promote?
Go big at JCPenney, style and value for all.
Shop now, in-store and jcp.com.
Every day their numbers grow larger. Once again, WFOD. Wheelbarrow full of dicks.
You stuck me in the friend zone. Let me end it all alone. Without you to call my own. Hey, you stuck me in the friend zone. I thought we could be more than this. I could be your mister, you could be my miss. But it seems you got a heart of stone. Hey, you stuck me in the friend zone. And I've had a thing for you. I'm a reason I turned to. I remember running around on the playground with you. By the time we turned 14, knew everything about each other, it seemed. Figured I'd ask you out, couldn't believe what came out of your mouth. You just stuck me in the friend zone. Let me in there all alone. Without you to call my own. Out of 10 feet, you said yes to me. So happy I could hardly breathe. I leaned in for a kiss, was shocked when you grabbed my lips. Hey, you stuck me in the friend zone. Left me out there all alone. Without you to call my own. Yeah, you stuck me in the friend zone. I thought we could be more than this. I could be your mister, you could be my miss.
Guys, welcome back. Our guest tonight is a Baltimore area musician whose new album Instincts will be available May 21st. For more information and to pre-order the CD, check out joshchristinamusic.com. Josh, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Josh, how's it going, man?
Here, how are you?
It's going okay. You know, I referred to you as a throwback artist a minute ago, and people were confused by that term. But I mean, that's what you refer to yourself as, right? A throwback artist.
Yeah.
You play a style of music that isn't really being played anymore.
Yeah. I'm writing new material that's based in an older genre, the Jerry Lewis, Chuck Berry, Elvis Presley. Driven style of music, but it's all original stuff to me. So yeah, definitely kind of a blast from the past.
Now, you're a pretty young guy, right? You're like 21, 22 years old, something like that?
I'm 23.
Do you get a lot of guff from the older guys? Like, do people give you trouble for...
No, not really. I know a lot of older musicians that have played this style that really have really helped me out and, you know, hooked me up with certain jobs and even doing gigs with them, and they respect what I do. You know, they like to see somebody young kind of carrying the torch for the next generation.
Right. I remember the Jimi Hendrix Coca-Cola commercial. Do you remember that when they had like a young Jimi Hendrix walk up to the shop window and look at the guitar and then they kind of
mm-hmm.
played some.
Yeah.
When I heard the origins of how you got into this style of music, that's what made me think it's not like a cool story like that. You were influenced by a Disney movie.
Yes, I was about 6 years old, and I went with my parents to see the Disney movie Lilo and Stitch.
it's a little, that little alien looks like a koala bear, right?
Yes, yes. And the movie did not really get me into it, but the music did, because the movie takes place in Hawaii, and a lot of music in the movie is Elvis Presley. Hound Dog, Heartbreak Hotel, Suspicious Minds, Burning Love, Devil in Disguise. And when we left the movie, that's all I really was thinking about was, you know, who was that guy? What was that sound? So that my parents actually got me the soundtrack for the movie, and I think I wore the thing out just listening to, you know, those five Elvis songs over and over again, and Elvis kind of opened the door to the to this genre of music for me.
So what happened was you went to a motion picture with Elvis songs in it, and instead of your parents buying you Elvis albums, they bought you the soundtrack to Lilo and Stitch?
To start off, yes. And then once I really got into it, then they proceeded to get me, like Christmas came up, they got me like Elvis number one hit. They got me some DVDs, like his Aloha from Hawaii concert in 1973 and his 68 comeback special. And it just kind of all skyrocketed from there.
So were they also into Elvis? I assume everyone was into Elvis, probably. Parents'
era. Not really. I mean, my mother was kind of a lounge lizard singer. You know, she was, you know, singing in the 80s, late 70s, early 80s, six nights a week locally. So she was always into music, and I was always around music, but never really Elvis. You know, she was kind of doing top 40. My dad never really was too into that style. You know, he's a big Elton John guy. And so I never really got into Elvis through them, and I was exposed to Elvis through them until I, you know, found my way to the movie and the songs in the movie.
Now, Travis, so when I was a 6 year old boy, there was only two bands for me. It was Bon Jovi and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Their Coming Out of Our Shell album.
Oh, Coming Out of Our Shell. That was a great
good record. Yeah,
really good record.
Yeah, and you know, and then the 90s hit, and you know, I got into all that stuff, and then I left Bon Jovi and the Ninja Turtles behind.
You can't leave the Ninja Turtles behind, Mike.
I had the California Raisins cassette.
Oh, the Raisins. Yep. Yeah.
So are you a self-taught guy? Did you just pick up a piano and get, and I mean, Elvis played the guitar. Are you a guitar player too?
I play a very small amount of guitar. Really got me into piano was I went to New York and saw this musical called Million Dollar Quartet. It's about Elvis Presley, Carl Perkins, Johnny Cash, and Jerry Lee Lewis. And I went because I loved Elvis. I wanted to see the Elvis kind of story in it. And this guy named Levi Christ was playing Jerry Lee. And at the end of the musical, he jumps on top of the piano and kicks a stool out and plays a whole lot of shaking going on, Great Balls of Fire. And I just kind of fell into the, you know, I want to, you know, play piano.
Oh, sure. It's cool. A romantic thing, I imagine.
And that's what kind of got me into piano. So, I mean, you know, it's definitely that same genre, same era. So that got me into piano. So Elvis kind of led me to Jerry Lee, and then Jerry Lee Lewis led me to piano.
So you just taught yourself how to play the piano?
Yes, I took maybe five or six like starter lessons from a musician, a friend of my mother's. Like I said, she was a local musician, so she knew a bunch of local guys. But then what happened was like summer came, and I didn't want to be stuck over the summer taking lessons, so I just started teaching myself, and I kind of have taught myself ever since.
Yeah, I did a deep dive on your website. You play the hell out of that piano, man. You just
thank you.
So I'm curious, who put you in the friend zone, and are you still in the friend zone?
Well, it's funny. A lot of the songs I write, there's very few that are actually about me. They're about things I hear, things I see. I think I've been friend zoned maybe once or twice in my life. But the song was really just about, part of the thing that I like to do with this style of music is kind of find contemporary words or contemporary phrases that you can make kind of rock and roll, make piano driven, make rockabilly. So friend zone is a very contemporary phrase. So I thought, well, what the heck, we'll write a song about, being put in a friend zone. And that's kind of where the song came from. I know tons of people that it's happened to, and like I said, I'm thinking it's happened to me maybe once or twice in my life. So it's a very fairly relatable topic, and I just thought it'd be a fun rocking song to write about. So that's kind of where the song came about.
Okay. So you're not, like, in the friend zone still pining after somebody?
No.
But there's lots of people who are, man. It's relatable.
I know.
Oh, yeah, it's a relatable topic.
Right.
I feel that I'm still in the friend zone, and I'm married for 11 years, so.
Do you ever wish that you played a lighter instrument? Like, are there days that you wish that, you had picked up the piccolo?
No.
The piano, it's not very portable.
Well, I mean, most of the time I use an electric keyboard, or I have a keyboard and a shell.
Yamaha?
I use a Casio Privia.
Are there places that have a house piano that they'll drag out for you? Or,
mm-hmm. There's a venues I play where, if they have a piano, I usually always have in the contract, I want the piano tuned and use it. Just something about a live piano.
Yeah, yeah. I would imagine that would be a weird thing to just go to a place and play a unfamiliar piano. No?
Yeah, I've done that.
Yeah, you have to bust out the lights off.
You're having your record release this weekend. The venue that you're playing at, is that going to be an actual piano, or are you going to be playing on the Casio?
It'll be a Casio in a piano shell, so it'll look like a real piano.
Oh,
but
cool.
It'll be.
Oh, that's a dirty trick.
So it gives you the same. Yeah, it gives you the same look, but it's I don't have to worry about knocking out a tune. So.
And the website is joshchristinamusic.com. If people want to check it out, they can pre-order the CD now. You'll send it out to them and get more jams like that.
Yes.
And you got a Twitter handle or something you can give out for people?
Yeah. Twitter and Instagram are joshchristina57, and Facebook is joshchristinamusic. And then, of course, like you said, the website, joshchristinamusic.com, you can pre-order there, and the album comes out Sunday, May 20th. So
Josh, you're up on stage, you're tickling the ivories, as they say, and where do you keep your wallet during this?
My wallet?
Do you leave your wallet backstage? Do you have it on you? Where's your wallet at when you play?
My wallet's always with me, usually.
Keep it in your pocket. That's 2 weeks in a row, drunk.
So is it a back pocket or a front pocket?
It's a back pocket.
Yeah, you keep your wallet in your back pocket unless you're some kind of weirdo.
They always have those pictures that I see. If you keep your wallet in your back pocket while you're sitting down, it fucks up your spine.
No,
especially
Matt.
If you're sitting at a bench playing the piano, getting down on it, you would think that that'd be uncomfortable as shit.
No, right. Matt.
It doesn't bother me.
Oh, yeah, no. I sit on my wallet all day. My spine is fine, guys.
It's not.
Josh has got a good spine. Then maybe do you do yoga?
No, I play piano.
He plays yoga. Guys, joshchristinamusic.com. Check out all of Josh's stuff. Josh, thanks for calling in, man. It was fun talking to you.
No problem. Thank you, guys.
Take it easy.
Can you please, Mike?
What?
Please.
Man? What?
Please.
I like Josh.
I want you.
Josh
to
is a nice guy.
That right when drunk asked the question, when he went, my wallet. I need that as a soundbite forever.
He was so confused by the question. I think he's the first one that ever would, like, acted like he was so surprised at the question.
He did not roll with that punch at all.
No, maybe it's funny too. He's like the second guy who said he's kept that shit in his wallet, in his, like, right in his pocket, right?
That question just wrecked him, drunk.
Right. So,
you know what it probably was, Matt? There was a weird fourth voice that had not been heard. Asking him for his wallet. Just,
I know. I'm
what like, was that?
Has never said anything in any interview ever.
That's not true. I asked a question of Matt Chuck last week.
It was probably about weed, right?
No, because I asked him if he could make me funny.
Oh, right. Drunk's getting involved, Matt.
This is the first guy that was ever like concerned that we were actually actively trying to get his wallet.
Yeah, check out Josh Christie's website. I'll tell you what, if you live in the Maryland area, he's playing by you. That guy's got dates through December just about
he's
every night.
He's playing in Towson.
The guy's playing everywhere.
Matt, going back to the, we were talking about what we were into for music. How long did it take you to get the fact that the California Raisins were playing Heard It Through the Grapevine?
I just got it just now when you said it, Travis.
Honestly, it was a long time. Like, I did not...
I was a child, like, when I was a kid, like, the California Raisins were so big that Hardee's, you could, you ordered, like, a kid's menu or whatever, spent 99 cents, you could get one of those little plastic California Raisins. Gotta get them all.
Yeah.
And I was into the California Raisins, and you would constantly hear heard it through the grapevine. And I swear I was an adult before I got the pun.
I had never put that together until just now. In fact,
just now?
I just put together the Migos thing like a week ago, that it was short for Amigos, you know, because there's three of them and they're buddies. I just put that together like a week ago. I think I was listening to like Cardi B or something, and I was like, yeah, she's dating that Migos guy. And I was like, oh, wait, there's three of them, and they're friends. Drunk, did you see the story about that Ken Jeong guy?
I know who he is.
See, Ken Jeong.
He's an Asian guy from The Hangover. Korea.
He was doing a stand-up comedy show.
Uh-huh.
And a lady in the audience was having a seizure.
I was about to say, you know, he's actually a doctor, right?
And Ken Jeong is an actual doctor.
He gave up a very successful practice to follow his dream of comedy.
Right, right. And we support that, Travis, which I feel is a major mistake.
Very funny guy.
Ken Jeong jumped off the stage, went and saved the lady having a seizure. And I feel like this is a good sign that we need to stop supporting Ken Jeong's comedy career.
So he can go save lives?
So he goes back to his throwback job of saving lives.
Well, you have to think, though, if he hadn't been there performing comedy, there might not have been anybody there to save that person. So
yeah, but think about the doctor's office that he could be at and have people that are sick come to him all the time. I mean, hope that people have seizures at Ken Jeong concerts. We need to get him in an office and tell him to knock this shit off.
Oh, no, I disagree. I like Ken Jeong. He's funny.
There's probably funnier people than Ken Jeong that we don't know about that are bums not doing shit.
What if he's doing like The Hangover 4 and he could have saved, you know, three people.
Right.
Yeah, but we're talking two of them. We got to talk about like Rob Riggle, who was like he's like a Marine who became a firefighter.
Stop supporting him too. Like, if you have a job that is more important than comedy, don't do comedy.
Well, in theory, couldn't all comedians have jobs that are
more? Yeah, but some of them are pieces of shit. Like that Kyle Kinane guy. His whole act is just talking about what a piece of shit he is and all the shitty things he does when he's drunk and stuff. He can be a comedian.
Yeah.
Because he's not going to do anything else.
Yeah, what else is he going to do?
Right. But Ken Jeong, he saved ladies having seizures. So stop it with Ken Jeong. If he has a new TV show, boycott it. Protest all their sponsors. We're going to have a grassroots movement.
I can't endorse what you're saying right now.
Why, Drunk?
Because Ken Jeong's funny and I like him. I'm not going to boycott stuff that he
drunk
does.
Drunk people are dying.
Oh, okay, fuck them. Their world's overpopulated.
Comedy
anyway.
Is disposable. You'll forget about Ken Jeong. Unless Ken Jeong is the biggest comedian in the world, as big as Elvis, but for comedy, then his other career is
that's
more
like,
important.
That's like saying we should boycott this show because what you do is more important than...
No, drunk. I do nothing of importance other than this show.
This is all, this
my job, do. Anyone can do my job, and I do my job anyway. I go to my job.
Yeah.
I'm not doing anything worthwhile that is being interrupted by me doing this show.
But you could if you put your mind to it.
You think?
Yeah.
Thanks, drunk.
Yeah, but that's not like...
It's kind of not the point,
already
though.
Put his mind to it.
Yeah. Yeah. He went to a doctor school.
Right. Just imagine all these people that could be having t-shirts right now, but you're sitting here doing this...
No, I quit t-shirts. Didn't like it.
This crap thing.
Let's be real. Like, if Mike became a doctor... It would be like he would just be euthanizing everybody.
Right. Yeah, just get rid of them. In the chat,
he
Anchor says that Dolph Lundgren has a doctorate in physics. I don't believe that.
He does, indeed.
Does he?
He's a very smart individual, yep.
And he's making dumbass...
He's making Rocky IV.
Straight-to-DVD bullshit.
And Kiss My Ass, man. Movies. The Dolph Lundgren movie Don't Kill It was one of the best things I've seen in like last
right.
year.
Right. Obviously,
half.
Dolph didn't do anything... great with that doctorate in physics. Like he didn't do anything cool. The thing is with the Asian guy is he's already saved lives and can save lives. Then he became can you really say what he does is that funny?
And in the
he
chat
just stereotypes Asians. That's
Anchor
it.
Says people Anchor want. Says that I would rather do comedy. I would argue that this is probably isn't comedy. Anchor, what we're doing. This is something else. This is deep.
Don't put us in a box, buddy.
Yeah, don't just call us comedy, Anchor. We're a lot of things. We talk to musicians.
We're thinkers.
We're yeah. topical.
there's a storyline going on in the woo woo wee.
In the hair?
The woo wee. Woo wee.
Can you spell that for me?
WWE. The WWE.
Oh, okay.
There's these two guys that have this back and forth. It's been going on for months. From
are
what
they Irish? Because it seems like everybody in the WWE is Irish.
No, it's like a Japanese guy and like an American guy. He's probably not American, but he looks American.
Okay.
And they just keep kicking each other in the balls. And the whole storyline is that like one of them kicks each other guy in the balls. And then,
so is this on Monday Night Raw or Tuesday Night SmackDown?
Well, it was in a pay-per-view a couple weeks ago, but it's been going on for a long time. Every week, one of them like gets back at the other one for kicking him in the balls by running up behind him and like kicking him in the balls. This is like a feud. They have like a whole storyline going on about kicking each other in the balls. At the pay-per-view a couple weeks ago, they were in a match together because they're mad at each other they keep kicking each other in the balls.
I feel like you could call a truce on that.
The two guys...
I believe that's what South Park calls a Rochambeau.
Both kicked each other in the balls at the same time.
How do you, that's impossible. You can't do that.
Well, like they both... You know, like when they do that thing where you kick and kick and kick and you know, you're kicking opposite feet? Like if I kick you with my right foot and you kick me with your right foot.
So it's like Rocky and Apollo at the end of Rocky where they both knock each other
out. We both kick each other in the balls. And then they both went down hurt because they got kicked in the balls.
Uh-huh.
And then they both got counted out to 10 and disqualified. And that was the end of the match.
So do you still watch the WWE?
What WWE gets away with.
It's just a kick each other in the balls off is what's going on. It's fun, right?
You still watch that?
No, I see it.
When's the last time you like stopped watching wrestling?
You know, I watched the WrestleMania. Well, I fast-forwarded through it, and like every now and then, I just keep up with it on Twitter, it seems like. People
so
post
when's
about
the last
it on
time
Twitter.
You were actually a viewer week in, week out, this is my shit, WWE?
Like NWO.
Basically when they merged, right?
Yeah, like I just, I saw the thing about everybody get kicked in the balls, and I thought, what are they doing
over
there?
I'll always watch a WrestleMania, and occasionally we'll watch a like a SummerSlam or something like that. But
yeah, if there's a big thing, then I usually hear about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I was a big fan of the Road Dogg, Jesse James, and D-Generation X and all that, and haven't watched like since they were gone. So.
Yeah. Do you think we need to make a chart of all of the people and their answer to the wallet question?
I think so, yeah. I don't ever keep my wallet in my back pocket. It hurts.
Don't you feel like this could be like some kind of...
I'm with Matt here. It hurts my spine.
Clinical
study? Oh, it doesn't
study?
Hurt my spine. I just asked the question. I always keep it in my back pocket. Although, drunk, I'm sure that you have like six wallets. And
I only got the one.
Like over time, we could really learn something about, you know, performers and their habits.
My pops move on to the money clip, though, which I think that's not a bad idea.
I've been in a money clip for probably 7-8 years.
I saw a gal the other day that had just like a little packet as part of like her phone case that had like a couple of cards in it.
Yeah, it's kind of
you saw does. Joe? Joe uses one of those.
I don't know about that, Joe, Matt.
Yeah, he uses one, and I've always thought that's the dumbest thing, because if you lose your phone, then you lose everything.
But who loses
their phone?
Yeah, but
at the same time, think about it. How often do you lose your wallet if it's your
phone?
But
that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I would lose all of it at once. I would rather, you know, lose one.
See, the wallet in the back pocket, I whenever I'm somewhere in public, I check it constantly because I'm afraid somebody's going to take it.
Yeah. And yeah, the same way. If I'm going to a show where there's a lot of people around, I will move the wallet to the front pocket so that it's easier.
Yeah, I always have fear that somebody's going to take my wallet out of my back pocket or just like run up and stab me in the back. I don't
that,
like people.
That
being
last one's a little extreme.
I don't like it. I don't like when there's people walking around behind me. I don't trust them. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Travis went to a concert this past weekend.
I did, and I checked my money clip in my front pocket very often.
You had you're a money clip guy, Travis?
Were you not paying attention? He just said for the last 7 or 8 years.
Yeah, like 7-8 years I've been in a money clip, but I keep it it's a front pocket thing.
7-8 years?
Yep.
So you just have a couple of cards in there and some cash?
Yeah, there's a few cards and then some cash. Like my license is in there. I got a single credit card, my debit card. I think I have one bank card and maybe even my library card just to pad it out. Because it tends to get a little loose because it's just the money clip. It's not one of those fancy spring-loaded things or anything. So depending on how much cash I have, which is typically not much on my person, I need that extra card to keep everything together.
Huh.
But I do constantly check. It doesn't matter if I'm in a concert or if I'm in public. Like I'm constantly making sure I didn't drop it mostly, which is almost near impossible out of most front pockets. But yeah, I'm constantly checking for that thing.
Did you enjoy the show, Travis? Was it a good show?
I did. Yeah, it was really good. Saturday was a little cool. It rained a little bit on me. I didn't care for that. But I did care for that just a little bit more than Sunday, where it was scorching hot. And so,
did you camp? Did you camp out? Or
no.
It was driving back and forth each day?
Yeah, but not to like our homes. Like I went with a buddy of mine, and we got a hotel. Okay. But he waited a while because he's actually the one that invited me to this thing. And he waited a while. So we actually had to stay like a half hour away from the thing. Because it's such a big festival that all of the hotels in the surrounding area book up pretty good. And we must not have been the only ones because the Sunday morning at breakfast, we saw some other people with the wristbands on from the same show. So it's in a little town like Somerset, Wisconsin is not very big. It's one of these, you know, almost seasonal kind of towns, and everything surrounding that is pretty much the same way. So there's not a lot of hotels in the first place. But yeah, so we didn't camp, which seems to be a good thing because I heard a lot of horror stories from the campground.
So any drugs this weekend or
drugs?
Yeah.
Oh, there's drugs everywhere. Every two steps.
For you, what'd you do?
Like, I didn't do a bunch of drugs.
No acid, no Molly's.
A couple of guys dose at Alice in Chains. It was second to the last band. And I think they were trying to get fucked up for Tool, which was the headliner on Sunday night. And I watched these guys. They each took a half tab, and I kind of pointed it out to my buddy because he used to really like the acid back in high school. The only time I ever did acid when I was in younger, it was bunk, and it ended up being speed, which was fine as well. But I watched these two guys take half tabs, and I'm watching their eyes glaze over, and it seemed like they didn't get the effect they wanted right away. So they both took like another tab, and then within 10 minutes, like I looked back to try to find them, and they were fucking gone. So I don't
think
know
they were
where
doing
they
laps
went.
Around the place.
I don't know what happened, but I got to tell you one thing is I don't know that I'd be taking acid in a crowd of thousands of people right before a Tool concert. Because if you pull up like any Tool concerts, it's very immersive, and he flashes a lot of weird imagery.
Yeah, with
shit,
all the imagery and stuff, you kind of already on acid.
Yeah, and they didn't have like a Sherpa, right? So it was just these two dudes. Like, there's this one guy, and they're just like dosing together, and they had nobody to like keep them grounded. Like, if you're gonna do that in a place like that, you'd almost need like a spirit fucking guide in case you freak out. But if the only other guy you're with is also freaking the fuck out at a Tool show, I don't know how you come back from that.
So no chocolate covered mushrooms or nothing like that, huh?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't indulge in any of that. I smoked a little weed. Like, there was a mom. In the crowd.
Oh boy.
That's what you wanted him to say. Why don't you just start with that?
Well, no, I wanted him to say he did some fucking Molly's or something. That would have been
awesome. No, just a little weed. And I did, like, during the Tool show, because I was like, hey, this would be way cooler if I was a little high. There was luckily somebody smoking and passing a joint around there, and I did prayer hands. I tapped him on the shoulder and did prayer hands, and he handed it to me. And I was, like, stone sober because it was hot as shit on Sunday, and I'd been drinking all day, but it was not taking effect. I was sweating everything out. So I was stone sober. It was bullshit. But I took this one hit off of this joint, and like within a couple of minutes, I was fucking like, oh my God, I don't know what is in this, but this is not just weed. I was so fucking high for 2 minutes. Like, I just like started to freak out because I was so high, and then it was just like gone. Like, it was just like a wave, and it was just gone. So back to
normal. So Tool was good though?
Tool was great. Yeah, it was one of the top five shows I think I've ever seen. I think like Rob Zombie puts on a really good show, just like a stage show. I've seen a lot, you know, obviously better musicians, but like Tool, all together. It's funny because Maynard is such a weird fucking dude. Like, they were the second to the last act on Saturday with A Perfect Circle. And during that show, you know, both shows, he's standing in the back of the stage. But for A Perfect Circle, he's got like this long wig, and he's got like a 3-piece suit, and he's just singing his songs, you know. But for Tool, dude is in like full riot gear, standing in the back of the stage.
In the back, right?
In the back of the stage, yeah. And he's doing like
the behind the drummer, like he.
Oh yeah,
he never comes out. Like, you're gonna think, well, you know, maybe near the end he'll come out for a little bit.
No,
never does.
No. No, that's his spot. He does not move from his spot at all, and for either of the bands. But at least for like Tool, he was like doing these weird crouch point dances things. Like, he was like crouching and like moving his like whole body arms around. And to explain away the riot gear, I think they had done like 3 songs, maybe 4 songs. And he says, hey, guys, a lot of people been asking me lately. Hey, Maynard, James Keenan, what's with the riot gear? And I tell those people, it's because of all you freaks and your bananas. You and your bananas scare the shit out of me. So once you guys eat your fruit, then I'll take off this riot gear. And he went directly into like another song.
Yeah.
Well, that explains it. It makes perfect sense.
Fucking totally.
I remember hearing that a while ago, that he stays at the back. I don't know that I would even. I don't know. It seems like such a shit move.
Saw Tool and he stayed in the back, like, I left it kind of like irritated. I was like, I didn't even like see the singer guy the whole goddamn time. I didn't even see him. You know, that's.
You could see him during these.
Well,
shows,
I know, but I mean, you know what I mean.
I get it.
You see him, but you don't see him.
I mean, there was weird silver guys climbing up the ceiling, and there was like crazy shit on the screen and stuff. But I kind of felt at the end of it like it was kind of bullshit that I didn't see Maynard like come out on the stage.
But he does let the rest of the band take like front and center, and I think that's kind of the point, because you know he has multiple bands, and I think his whole deal is, I don't want to be the center of attention. Look at these amazing musicians that I play with, and in turn,
but they don't do anything either. They just stand there and play their instruments. I mean, it's not like they're out dancing around. They're standing there keeping their math straight.
Oh, no, it's definitely a completely different experience from, you know, because the headliner on Saturday night was Avenged Sevenfold, and those guys are all fucking over the place.
Right.
Jump around like crazy monkeys.
I mean, they're trying to get everybody involved in the show, whereas Maynard is just it's almost like a play. Like, he's putting on a play. It's not like a concert. It's like, here's Maynard James Keenan's, like, you know, performance art, and you're here to watch that. Whereas, like, a band like Avenged Sevenfold is, like, let's fucking rock and roll and be part of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good time, though. I had a lot of fun. Just posted a couple of pictures on Twitter. One of my favorite things is there's this redhead with, like, kind of a bustier kind of thing on some stilts pouring Jack Daniels and Fireball whiskey down people's throats for like $5.
So. Well, God bless her.
Yep, agreed.
Matt,
the
Lotus cast has made its triumphant return.
Not a complete triumphant return. I don't know that we'll be doing things on a regular basis, Mike. But you know, we're doing stuff, and I'm for the first time in a long time, reaching out to people to potentially be guests.
Wow. Like real people?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm talking to this, this musician right now. I'm pretty excited to have him on the show, maybe in the next couple weeks.
Matt, that's
Dave's in Germany. So I don't know when he's coming back.
Matt, that's great news.
Listen, don't get excited.
You're missed, Matt, in the podcasting sphere.
I don't think so. Listen, the podcasting sphere is huge, and I think there might be you,
Matt,
missing it.
Matt, we're all living in podcast infinity war, but I would not say that you're...
I like that out of the first half of this show, I saw when Anchor showed up in the chat and asked Michelle what had happened in the first half
hour.
Infinity War. We only compared something to Infinity War.
I think we compared it to 9/11.
There was no Infinity War talk. Like, we didn't discuss the movie.
Yeah, we didn't discuss Infinity War. It was mentioned within but you know, the attention span. It's so Matt, I would say that like in Infinity War, you weren't like Peter Dinklage. In the podcast Infinity War, you know, you're like a nebula, or you know, like one of the good ones. Matt.
I don't even know what that means. So
I don't even think it.
Matt, you're not the gal from How I Met Your Mother in podcast Infinity War. You know, you're like a
she's bigger than us.
Rocket Raccoon, Matt.
We are like the brand of pager that showed the Captain Marvel logo.
Matt.
Yeah?
You're not the brand of pager in podcast Infinity War,
Matt. Yeah, that pager that he drops on the ground. Whatever brand that is.
Matt, if you were a podcast school shooting, you'd be like one of the bigger ones. Like that that guy that like stole his mom's gun and then killed her and then like went to the school.
Sandy Hook.
Nobody,
is that Sandy Hook?
When WFOD
Matt,
plays
you're
school
like
shooter or
podcast Sandy Hook.
No, no, I hate that you just said that.
Well, like one of the ones that like you remember, Travis.
No, easily forgotten.
Did you forget Sandy Hook?
Matt's like that. What is that like that Virginia Tech thing, right?
That was like an Asian guy that killed his girlfriend. Wasn't it?
You guys are all horrible people.
The Lotus
right now.
Cast is like the unreported. Like the guy went to shoot up a school, but ended up getting high and stayed at home.
He's like Matt's like the guy who went to shoot up a school, but it was Martin Luther King Day and they didn't have school that day.
Right, like it just did not happen.
So he gave up and he went back to college.
this culture
that did something useful.
This culture is garbage, guys. That's the point that I'm trying to make. And I don't know if it's because there's more things or if it's because there's bad things, but it's something.
I will say, you know, for anybody listening to this, last week we did the Lotus Cast, and it was a lot of fun. I had a really good time doing the show for the first time in a long time. So check it out if you haven't.
That's my pick of the week.
Oh.
Drunk, do you have a pick of the week?
I thought you were going to do the transition.
Oh, into picks of the week? Drunk, do you have a pick of the week?
So Drunk's pick of the week is Ken Jeong's comedy. He needs to keep on doing it, and he's a funny guy.
Matt, pick of the week?
Yeah.
Something you want the people
hey,
to know?
Hey, I have a couple of picks here. The big recommendation to Netflix, which has done two great docu-series that I was really into, Evil Genius and Wild Wild Country.
Oh, I'm excited to start Wild Wild Country. That looks great.
I watched the first episode of Wild Wild Country, and I want to watch the rest of it.
So good.
So they got like bears and snakes and shit?
There's just too many things, though, you know?
Yeah.
Does it got like bears and snakes and shit?
No, it's like a bunch of crazy Indian people that moved to like
man,
a
tell
country
you, I
town.
Didn't know anything about the Evil Genius. Like, I didn't know that whole story, that whole bank heist or whatever. And when I was watching that first episode, I was truly just kind of shocked at how everything played out. And then just following it episode by episode, Evil Genius was really good. Yeah, so that's my...
If I had to watch one of those two, which one should I watch? Like, you got to pick one of the two.
Oh, my
I'm only
going to
watch one
of
them.
Two, my favorite of the two is Evil Genius, for
okay.
sure.
Okay.
But Wild Wild Country, you know, is definitely pretty fascinating as well.
Albino Alligator, Popcorn Bitch, do you have a pick of the week?
My pick... of the week this week is Northern Invasion 2018 from Somerset, Wisconsin. You can't go because it's over, but that's still my favorite thing of this past week. So maybe next year, guys.
JoshChristinaMusic.com if you enjoyed Josh Christina's
still in the friend zone.
Friend zone track. You want to hear some more of it? It's out there.
Talk about the friend zone.
And. Yeah, guys.
Lilo and Stitch. Watch Lilo and Stitch.
You know, I should revisit that film because I don't remember the Elvis stuff at all.
Oh, it's like the center point of the movie.
Yeah, I just remember that little guy and he had a cute voice.
Right, not the centerpiece of the movie. It's the center point.
Is it all about Elvis?
Pretty much.
I need to watch that Lilo and Stitch again. Guys, we'll be back next week. We got some big stuff coming up soon. Big stuff.
Yeah, don't we got like some giveaways coming up?
Yeah, we got some giveaways coming up soon, and you know, special themed shows.
I'm looking excited for the next theme show.
Theme show is pretty exciting, Travis. We're gonna chase everybody right the fuck out of here.
So stay tuned.
Guns out, fun's out.
Yep.
I want you to know it's over.
Well. Bye.
Hey there, fella. Thank you for listening to this installment of the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program. You can join us live every Tuesday night at 9, 8 central on strangelabel.com. And be sure to check out all the other great shows that station offers. Just about every night of the week, you can find yourself a nice little live program. They do a whole thing. It's fun. You can download past episodes of our lengthy catalog or enjoy other premium content on our website found at WFODix.com. That's right. WFODix.com is where the show lives. Go over there. Check it out. God damn it, is it a great website. Let me tell you, we got it all. You like links? Got links. You like podcasts? We got podcasts. You like blogs? Well, there's some of those, too. Not too many. There should be more. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, at WFODix. We're at WFODix on everything. So if you have a social media, reach out, say hi. If you want to email us, Mike or Travis at WFODix.com, or Drunk at WFODix.com. All three of us, we have an email. Give us a call when we're live, when we're not live. Give us a call whenever you want. 636-487-HAND. Comments, feedback, whatever. Special thanks to our Patreon sponsors. Harry Balls on ya, Liquid Lozenge, and Brian Kranz. If you'd like to be a Patreon sponsor, patreon.com/WFODix. Kick us a buck or two. Get all that premium stuff that we put up there. Bonus episodes. Well, not really bonus episodes. After shows. You get after shows. Sometimes you get pre-shows. There's stuff on there. It's fun. Or, you know, you could just do it to be a nice guy. You don't have to contribute money. Or you do the show for funsies. We don't care about the cash. But, you know, reach out to a guest. If we have a guest, tell them you heard them here. Retweet the show, tell a friend, support our sponsors. There's lots of things you can do. Give us an iTunes review, anything. I mean, be a pal. We're doing the show. If you like the show, get involved. You know what I'm saying? We'll see you next week. We appreciate you. There's no point in doing it without you. We'll see you next week. God bless.
Lots of good stuff happening. It's going to be juicy. You'll see. All right. Bye for now. Take good care of yourself. Bye.